Sometimes when I am saying Mass, consecrating the bread and the wine to become the body and blood of Christ, I look at myself inwardly and I say something like, "Who do you think you are? What are you pretending to do?" And I look at the people and I wonder, how on earth can I provide for what all of you need and came for? Other times, like when I'm anointing someone who's very sick or someone who may even be dying or close to death, and I look at myself inwardly and wonder if such a ritual as an anointing can, in my hands, can possibly help that person who's facing serious consequences or death. What hope am I bringing to them? And these are times when I feel very, very small and inadequate before the great mysteries that I'm performing. It's like I'm asking myself, how can this be? And then there are the faces of those who have come to me, like you, for Mass or the sacraments. And their very presence is an act of hope and faith. And how can I do so much for so many? There's something much greater than myself in these sacramental moments. It's large. It's overwhelming. And I'm small. I'm limited. And I'm inadequate. It appears that I may be a little bit like Philip in that gospel account of Jesus feeding the 5,000. When Jesus raised his eyes and saw that a large crowd was coming to him, he said to Philip, "Where can we buy enough food for them to eat?" And he said this to test him, because he himself knew what he was going to do. Philip answered him, 200 days' wages worth of food would not be enough for each of them to have a little. It was a big crowd. This was just before Passover. There were a lot of people on the road, and they were very attracted to Jesus. In my priesthood, the task before me is often overwhelming for me. It's so great sometimes that the very situation makes me feel helpless. How can I feed so many with so little? And a similar situation occurred in that Old Testament reading from 2 Kings when Elisha received the offerings of food from one of his followers. And Elisha said, "Give it to the people to eat." But his servant objected, "How can I set this before 100 people?" This was similar to the feeling that Philip expressed when faced with the prospect of feeding 5,000 with Jesus. Elisha insisted, "Give it to the people to eat, for thus says the Lord, they shall eat, and there shall be some left over." And when they had eaten, there was some left over, as the Lord had said. The story about Elisha multiplying the barley loaves is an anticipation of Jesus multiplying the loaves. Both stories are there to teach us about the mystery of the Holy Eucharist and the abundance of God's love for us and the abundance of God's grace that he wishes to shower upon us, and it will not be exhausted. There will be lots left over. One of my first lessons is that it is the Lord who performs the wonders and miracles in his church. It's not any man. In the church, we say that the priest offers the Mass and the sacraments in persona Christi, that's the Latin, in the person of Christ. From the Catechism we learn only Christ is the true priest, the others being only his ministers. In the priest, it is Christ himself who is present to his church, as head of his body, and the shepherd of his flock, the high priest of the redemptive sacrifice, the teacher of truth. This is what the church means by saying that the priest, by virtue of the sacrament of holy orders, acts in persona Christi capitis, Christ the head, the person of Christ, the head of the church. St. Thomas Aquinas tells us it is the same priest, Jesus Christ, whose sacred person his minister truly represents. And now the minister, by reason of his priestly consecration, which he has received, is truly made like to the priest and possesses the authority to act in the power and the place of the person of Christ himself. Christ is the source of all priesthood. It's not my priesthood. I minister for him. The priest of the old law was a figure of Christ, and the priest of the new law acts in the person of Christ. So, yeah, I have doubts. And when I have these doubts, the Mass is still valid. Because Jesus is present in my priesthood because of the sacrament of holy orders, which is just as valid as the sacrament of the Eucharist. It's not about me. It's a mystery. The miracle of the sacraments is always intact. And it's Jesus himself who's making the miracles happen for his church. When people come to me for confession in the church, sometimes I'm overwhelmed just by the fact that they came. That to me is a proof of the Holy Spirit. And it's Jesus who forgives their sins. And I say the words through obedience. Don't ever doubt the sacraments of the church. It's Jesus who fed the 5,000, not Philip with the apostles. It was God who multiplied Elisha's loaves, not Elisha. So when I'm suffering my own doubts or questioning myself for my weakness or my service as a priest, I just keep going out of obedience. Because I made vows of obedience to be an obedient priest in the church, I pray. I ask for God's help. And finally, I trust in the sacrament of ordination and the promises that come with it. And God will provide for you and for me, just like he fed the Israelites in the desert and Elisha fed people with little. Jesus fed 5,000 with just 2 fish and 5 loaves. It may be similar for you, perhaps, in your situations, in your families, your trials, your sufferings, or like serious disease, or challenges when you lose a job, or have problems in your career. You may experience that you're inadequate for the task. Maybe your parenting is challenging you, or the challenge is just too overwhelming, and you lose hope. You lose hope in yourself. You become depressed and you think you're going to fail. Or maybe you feel you already have failed. And sometimes those joined in holy matrimony may lose hope in their marriage or their spouse or in themselves. We just can't do it anymore is the feeling. And it's times like these when we must rely upon Christ, who joined us in our sacrament of holy matrimony. Remember, there's 3 in holy matrimony. We invited him in at the altar, and he didn't go away. And it's precisely in these moments of weakness that God can do the most for us. It's harder for God to work in us when we feel self-sufficient, as if we can handle everything ourselves. That makes it really tough for God to work. Because essentially we're saying, stay out, I'll call you when I need you. But God comes to help us when we need him most, and when we're, he can do the most for us when we feel the most helpless. And it's then we can pray, as we prayed in that psalm just now, the Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth. The hand of the Lord feeds us. He answers all our needs. But you have to call him. When you're feeling that limitation, you have to call him. He won't come uninvited.